yesterday, today, and forevermore. Have mercy, Lord, for we're listening. Speak now to us. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. I open my eyes, and everybody on that side is gone. I wonder if they've been caught up to meet the Lord. Scripture says, right, you could be in the bed, and two of you sleeping, and you look, and somebody else is gone. That's the end time scripture. Did you all see, were you all looking, or did you see them being caught up to meet Jesus? Praise God. Sunday school is up and running. It's a task to keep Sunday school going. And do what thus saith the Lord. But thanks be to God, because God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Nothing changes our circumstance and our situation more than God's word. Nothing. It is the word of God as he speaks to us. Now, friends, as we are here during this time, I want to ask you a question. Do you all know what season we're still in? What season are we still in? Lent, right? We're still in Lent, aren't we? And we're supposed to do several things, some things during Lent as Christians, aren't we? It's a time that we are supposed to do some stuff or try to change. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to do several things, right? We could choose to give up food or give up something. Nobody here look like they've given up food altogether, but give up, to give up a food item that they like. And people tend to give up chocolate. I don't know why chocolate is the favorite, because it's not the only thing that we eat too much of, is it? And so people try to give up chocolate and different things. And we're also called to pray, right? And go to the Lord in the deeper prayer. To seek God, we could always pray more. And then we're also called to be kind to each other, to do good deeds. But we are called to repent. Repent, right? We're called to repent. And repent means to turn away from sin, to change the course, whatever course we're going on, to, if we're doing something out of the will of God, to change. Now, I know that sin is not a popular word that we say anymore. Everything we're doing is right. Nobody wants to say sin, but I have a Bible that I read, and the word sin is all over it. Love is all over it also, but so is sin, isn't it? So there is, we do things out of the will of God, and it is said that we're sinning, right? It's a word that still stands. And not just other people are sinning, we too can sin. We could do things that doesn't please God, and we have an opportunity to change. An opportunity to change and to turn. This is what the text is about today. So my sermon title is, It is Fruit-Bearing Time. We used to have that song, It's Miller Time. Do you remember that? Has nothing to do with my scripture. I just want to let you know that I live in the world. I live in the world and I know these things. All right? I am not of the world, but I live in the world. And for those of you who may not know who are from different places, there used to be a very popular song called It's Miller Time. No, not a song, an advertisement, right? And I won't tell you what it means. You can Google it, my friends. A time when people would take a break to get feel better about stuff, right? And they would have to get a little bit of help. And they would sing, It's Miller Time. But now we are talking about it's fruit-bearing time. And that will also make us feel good. And the fruit we're talking about today is not the fruit of the Spirit, but is the fruit of repentance. That it's a different fruit today in this text, is the fruit of repentance. That when we repent, we're certainly bearing fruit. When we repent, we feel better. When we repent of what we're doing, we feel better. And so here's the text here, the text as it says, and I know this thing keeps going in and out. You can hear it, but it's getting better. Is it getting better? Good. So here it is. I'm going to start with this reflection. And it says, becoming what we are. Somerset Maugham said it is best, said it best in his autobiography. And his autobiography is called Summing Up. He says, I knew that I had no lyrical quality, a small vocabulary, and little gift of metaphor. The original and striking simile never occurred to me. Poetic flights were beyond my powers. On the other hand, I had an acute power of observation, and it seemed to me that I could see a great many things that other people missed. I could put down in clear terms what I saw. I knew that I should never write as well as I could wish, but I thought, with pains, that I could arrive at writing as well as my natural defects allowed. He discovered the secret of genius. The point is that life does not ask us to become what we are not. Life asks us to become what we can be. The fig tree was only required to produce figs. No more. You see, you and I are asked only to accomplish what our natural gifts allowed. But we are asked to accomplish just that. So when God asks us to bear fruit in the scriptures, he's asking us just to do that, to bear fruit. He never asks us to do more than what we can do. One writer says, God doesn't ask a fig tree to produce bananas. God asks a fig tree to produce figs. We see in the Luke text, friends, today, we see in Luke text, the first part of the Luke text tells us about to repent or perish. First after the text tells us to repent or perish. And we want to hear this story. See, okay. We want to hear this story from this place. To repent or perish. Now, this is a hard text. A little bit hard text because Jesus is speaking. And Jesus is speaking to the people and to his disciples. And what he says about the Galileans and about the tower falling on the folks at Siloam, what he's talking about is these terrible things happened to those people. Terrible things happened to them, but it was not because they were worse than other people. That's really what that text is saying. Terrible things happened to these folks. The blood of the Galileans were mixed by Pilate. And he asked them, he said, do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. There were no worse sinners. When bad things happen to people, it's not because they're any worse than we are. Right? Bad things happen to good people. Right? And the other piece he talked about when the tower fell on a whole bunch of folks and killed them, Phil, he said, do you think they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? Says, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. So Jesus is speaking that. He says, you know, we have an opportunity now to repent, friends. During Lent, we are reminded that we should repent. And every single one of us here, at some point in our life, during our life's journey, need to repent. Because we're not perfect. First of all, we repent of our sins when we say yes to the Lord. We repent. We ask God to forgive us of our sins. And then we do things all the time. Another word people don't want to use is to repent. Repent is a simple word. It's to change from what you're doing, to stop doing what you're doing that is hurtful, that is wrong, that is first hurtful to God, and could be hurtful to someone else. So then Jesus, after he tells them that, and this is a very kind of heavy text for Jesus to say, he's saying, you know, he makes no justification here or no clarity about bad things happening to good people. He doesn't clear that up. Things happen in the world. We live in a fallen world. And then he goes to the fig tree. He goes to the parable of the fig tree. And he says here with the parable of the fig tree, he's going to talk about in this story. Jesus implies here that, you know, when things happen to folks, we should not feel that we are any better than them. Not because we are perfect. Things can happen to anyone. And then there is an urgency of Jesus' call, an urgency to say tragedy and hardship have their ways of nudging people toward God. But these verses just suggest that tragedy and hardship come so suddenly that they often mark the end, not the beginning, of our opportunities to live lives inclined toward God. Jesus' words about judgment and repentance are very scary, yet they depict human life as a gift. That life is a gift. Yes, albeit a fragile one, a vulnerable gift that we pursue, you know, that we presume that we have all the time, but it's fragile and it's a gift from God. There is in our liturgy, when we do the communion, one of the liturgies says, God, forgive me in thought, word, or deed. If I've sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, forgive me. And I oftentimes pray that. When I am praying, I will ask God to forgive me in thought, word, or deed. If I have thought about something that is not of you, that I can't even remember myself, that times happen, if I'm thinking in thought, in word, or in doing. And oftentimes when we go to the Lord in prayer, we should ask God for forgiveness. Lord, forgive me. If I've done something wrong against my brother or my sister, forgive me. If I've done something wrong against my neighbor, forgive me. God, forgive me, because God is willing to forgive us. He's willing and just. He wants us to come with a repentant spirit. That's what that Psalm 51 says that we read at Ash Wednesday. Create in me, Lord, right? A clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Wash me with the hyssop so that I will be clean, right? Forgive me of my sins, Lord, because you and you alone have I sinned. The psalmist says, right? It is a good thing to be able to get up when you get up in the morning, because life is precious, because there are times we won't have the opportunity to do it. You know, so in our prayers, friends, when we're praying to the Lord, instead of just making our laundry list of what we're asking for, after we speak to God and thank God for the day, for this gift of life, it is a good thing to ask God, God, if I've sinned against you, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, and have mercy upon me. Simple. Forgive me, Lord. I might or might not have done something outside of your will, but I might have thought it. Forgive me, Lord. So this is what the Lord is telling us here. He's telling us that, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will perish as they did. That the time is right for us now. Now, our day, this day, to ask God, please forgive me if I've done anything wrong. And let me not hear anybody says they never do anything wrong, because we know that we're going on to perfection, but nobody's perfect yet. Right? We're going on to perfection, John Wesley says. Right? We are a working process every day. And as they would say about Peter in the study we are doing, Peter would put one foot forward and then he would step back one. That's what we do. Right? We're asking God to forgive us over and over again. And so here's the good news in this text, though. As you look now at the parable of the barren fig tree. This is where we see God always ready and able, right, to forgive us, giving us time. Some folks run out of time, you know that. I don't want to run out of time. I'm always asking God, God, when I go to lay down at night, I says, Lord, have mercy. Please forgive me as I rest tonight, Lord. If I have displeased you, have mercy upon me before I close my eyes. Because I figure if I don't get up, I'm making it right. You know, I don't know about you all, but I know when I lay down, I don't have to get up, so I'm trying to make it right. Do you all do that? Sometimes I'm so tired, I'm reading a book, and as I'm laying down, I says, Lord, just forgive me. If I wasn't the best I had to be today, Lord, if I didn't do, just have mercy upon me, Lord, as I lay down tonight. I'm just asking, and I'm hoping that by the time I close my fall asleep, I'm not thinking of killing anybody. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm not thinking of anything dangerous. I'm not mad with anybody. I'm hoping that when I fall to sleep, I'm trying to keep my spirit clean. You know what I mean. You get so mad with somebody, you want to see. I don't want to go to bed fighting with people. That's why I'm not talking to anybody before I go lay down at night. You know what I'm saying? But I live alone. You guys are, you know, don't fight with your husbands and your spouses when you're going to go lay down, because anything can happen. You know, what did Paul says? You could be angry, but do not sin. Do not go to bed angry. You know that Paul always says it, because Paul knows. You better say, honey, I love you, or darling, or dear, or whomever, or you, whatever you call them, and you get mad. You know, I care about you, Lord. You know, God bless you. Forgive me for what I do, because who knows if that's not going to be the time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you all know what I'm saying, friends. So I am not trying to talk to nobody before I go to bed. The last, because I live alone. But if you live with somebody, I have to hope to talk to them. I would hope. I don't want to break marriages up here now. But guess here's the deal. I'm just talking to Jesus. I'm reading a book, and I'm talking to Jesus. You remember, I was married for many years. I know what happens when you get married and you're not looking at each other in the bed. But now, God says, you're by yourself. You can only talk to me. So I says, Lord, have mercy and forgive me, Lord. Because I am asking the Lord for what? For forgiveness. Because tomorrow is promised to no one. That's what Paul is saying. This moment is promised to no one. As I am preaching to you now, what happens if you just see me being caught up? I always think about that. I says, Lord, I don't want to go this minute, but God may just choose to take. It would be great if he takes me in a church. Not this moment, Lord. Even another moment. Right? But one wants to be right, you know, with the Lord at all times, to the best of our abilities. Not just when we're going on a plane or when we're having an operation. We're praying for days. Life is that we should do this all the time. So the parable, it says, a man had planted a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for the fruit, and on it he found none. None. So he said to the gardener, see here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I still find none. Cut it down. Why should I be wasting the soil? We don't want the Lord to think he's wasting the soil on us, right? That we are wasted soil. But he wouldn't think that. So here's what the parable says. He replied, sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig round it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you cut it down. This parable presses upon the listeners and the importance of repentance soon. Here's what Jesus is telling them, the parable. In essence, he's saying, the fig tree has not been bearing fruit. And the gardener wants to cut it down. It's wasting time. And the Lord says, now give it time. Praise God. Give us time. He says, I'm going to put some manure on it. You know that we are in a garden here. And the Lord has been tilling the soil around us. Do you know that? Now the Lord has been putting new manure on us. Do you know that? Right, that's what it is. He's putting new manure. I know that. I see Dick smiling. I mean good manure. Holy Ghost manure, right? The Lord has been nurturing us through prayer. We pray to the Lord. We read God's word, right? And we go to God and we seek God. And God keeps, you know, plowing around us. Jesus keeps by his Holy Spirit working in our hearts, right? given us time to what? Do right. Given us time to repent of things we have not done. What a gardener he is, right? He says, don't give them time. And I'm sure when the end of the year came, if it wasn't that person's time, guess what? He'd give more time. Because Jesus is faithful, but we should not want to waste our time. Because we do not know when our time is finished. We do not have a plan, only God has the plan. Our task is never to waste that time. Every day, friends, is an opportunity to seek God and to change and to turn from what we're doing. Do you know that? Today that you're in this place listening to my voice, under the sound of my voice, is an opportunity to ask somebody for forgiveness if you have treated them badly. Today is an opportunity to call a loved one and says, I love you and Lord, forgive me for being hateful. It's always an opportunity, friends, right, to change, because life is a gift from God. It is precious. This parable reminds us, the owner of the fig tree, after 3 years, just came looking for fruit and says, this person isn't changing. They're not changing. I want something to happen. The gardener, however, asked for another year, and Jesus is the gardener. He's the one who's always making and molding us. You know what gardeners do, right? You go out, you dig out, you take out the bad things, you take out the dying leaves, right? And you put new manure on it, and you water it, that's what Jesus is, the gardener, in this parable. God is the gardener, working on us, working through us, giving us time to change, right? So we, as believers, need to listen to God's word, because we do not know when God comes calling. Paul says it. Paul now gives a warning from Israel history. He said, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual food and drank all the same spiritual drink. They drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. The rock was Christ. They all got baptized. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. They were struck down in the wilderness. God gives us time and our opportunities to change. Right? He says, now these things occurred as examples for us so that we might not desire evil as they did. He said, we must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in one single day. Right? Lord is warning us. I know people don't want to read the Bible. When you say these things, they think you're making it up. Because they don't read the Bible. They only read the Bible for the sections that they think is right. And sexual immorality is a big thing. It doesn't mean one thing. People focus on sexual one thing. There's a lot of sexual immorality. There is incest. There's adultery. There's all kinds of stuff. Right? So, you know, when Paul is speaking, you can run through the list. Paul is not making a list. He's giving you, he says, well, you know what sin is. He says, and we must not indulge in all these things. And he said, do not complain as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. You know another thing that God doesn't want? God does not like complainers. Did you know that? God doesn't like when you keep complaining and complaining and complaining. God wants people with a grateful heart. You know, with a grateful heart, a thankful heart. Complainers. And he tells them, he says, let's not be like that. So Lent is the time for us to change. He says, these things happen to them to serve as an example. As it was written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have to come. And then he ends with, no testing has overtaken you or me that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide a way out so that you may be able to endure it. Friends, the scripture says, God is not going to test us more than we can stand. Whatever we are going through, whatever we are facing, God will bring us through if we seek God. Right? It may not be the answer we want as I close, but God is able, if we go to Him in prayer, to help us through. He's not going to test us beyond our strength. And if we need that strength, we could call on Him and ask Him. And He'll bring us through. He's faithful. No matter what we are facing, we can call on Jesus. Huh? That's the good news. That today you and I have the time. We have time still because we are alive today, you and I. Everybody here is alive, aren't you? Because, you know, hopefully you are, because if you're not, then I'm in trouble. We're all at the other side. Right? If you all are gone, that means I'm gone and we're in heaven. And then I wouldn't have to be preaching this anymore because it'll be all over for us. Thanks be to God, it's not all over for us, friends, is it? Hallelujah. Right? When I get up, I says, this is another day. This is the day to live and move and have my being in you, Lord Jesus. And if I wasn't that good yesterday, I got today to make it up. Praise God. Don't you all feel that way sometimes? This is just me. I'm a very happy Christian, you know. Do you know I'm a happy Christian? Do you know that? Yes, I'm a happy Christian because I'm glad that I'm saved. And I'm not worried about where I'm going anymore. You know, I thought about, as I closed, I thought about Brother Greenbaum. As we went to that funeral and saw him there, and I thought, I'm not worried about where he's going. I believe in my heart. You see, I don't analyze and try to figure out people. Are they there? Are they not there? I don't do that. That's up to God. Once I believe that you're there, I believe that you're there, and I'm done. I don't know what time you reached there. I don't know if it was a slow train or an express. Who knows? But I'm going to believe that a man who served in the church for all these years and come to prayer and every Sunday was here in church, I'm going to believe God, this man who served in a mass and he was in the prison ministry and he prayed for folks. I'm going to believe God that he's in heaven. Are we going to believe God? I'm not going to try to analyze it. What time did he reach? How did he reach? No, I'm going to believe God. I'm not wasting my time. I believe what the word says. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm going to believe. If you're a believer, you tell me you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to believe that you're saved. And when the Lord called you home to go with him, that you're saved and saved and saved and sanctified. And then when my time comes, I'm going to go home to see you. That's my belief. I don't spend hours wondering. The only thing I may wonder about, God, how am I going to get there? And I'm praying that you be merciful to me. But I'm not worried about where I'm going to go, friends. Because I've got a home in heaven, not made by human hands. Jesus says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. Ah, yes, that where I am, you may be also. Oh, glory to God. And sometimes I think of my mama and I says, glory to God, she's in that house. Ah, not made by human hands. I don't worry about her. Don't worry about my daddy. I think mama is going to get him in. Glory to God, right? She says, Jesus, just pull him in. He didn't go to church all the time, but you just pull him in. He's all right. So, you know, we trust God. We have the time. This is the opportunity, friends. Jesus tells us, once we're living, there is time. Time to serve him. Right? I don't debate these things. I don't need to be intellectual to figure it out. I don't need to use my brain, my other side of my brain, my intellectual side to figure out how we get there, when we get there. That's up to Jesus. Everybody, we who believe, we're getting there. That's the promise of God. He promised us and he says, if it were not so, wouldn't I have told you? He said, why would I lie to you? Huh? Why would I lie to you? What reason? I'm going to die for you. Who's going to die for you? Why am I going to lie for you? I am not lying, he said. God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. He says, if I told you, I go to prepare a place for you. So we want to get to that place, don't we? And all we have to do is to repent of our sins. Ask Him to come into our heart and strive to follow Him each and every day. And when we fall off track, we get right back up and ask Him again, Lord, forgive me, and keep going. This is the train we're on. Nobody stops you. Nobody pushes you off, huh? When you fall off, Jesus just come and holds you and says, come on back. It's all right. I love you. What a Savior, friends. What a Savior. This morning, He will not give you more than you can bear. Thanks be to God for His faithfulness. Thanks be to God for His love for us. Remember, we are that fig tree that should bear fruit, should repent and seek God's face. And Jesus continues to nurture us. And nurture us until the end, because He's faithful and just. Amen.